I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the FPL Roundtable, the only fantasy Premier League podcast where we guarantee that you might learn something about fantasy, probably. Before I introduce my lovely co-host, Rob, just a heads up, we will not have much turnaround time on this show since we're recording on the Wednesday, but definitely wanted to get something out to you. But if we goof up or get stuff wrong, it's just staying in the show. So buckle up. This is about as close to a live podcast as you're going to get, unless at some point we do a live podcast. So with that out of the way, Rob, pleased to have you, as always.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, usually we talk about life, short timetable. So we're just going to dive right into fantasy stuff.
We're busy.
We are, although congratulations to your Yankees. Depending on when you're listening to this, that series may be decided, but it's level. And now we'll see
what
happens.
All that matters.
Indeed.
Back on level footing is all that matters, right?
Exactly. So Feet on Solid Ground. I think it was a Motown song.
Sure.
Till I Reach Higher Ground, maybe the title. Anyway.
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I like that I said we didn't have time for nonsense and immediately devolved into nonsense. But first few things. Lukaku and Harry Kane both blanked the weekend. Two of the most heavily owned players in every format. We'll talk about whether or not people should move on or not yet. Lukaku?
I'm not a fan of what I've seen from him. This is what Lukaku typically does. You know, it's no difference that he's wearing a blue jersey or a red jersey this year. You know, he's still owned in 57.9% of leagues. So basically, two thirds out of everybody that's playing this game is owning Lukaku. But he does these things. He goes through little doldrums of uselessness. And unfortunately, United is on one right now from fantasy wise. They're not obviously, you know, on completely one from a, you know, an actual real life perspective. Mm-hmm. But, you know, with returns of 7-6-2 in his last three games, and two of those games had actual goals. You know, I mean, you almost kind of have to twist here, but, you know, you kind of have to go with you're almost going to employ yourself to have a hot hand from a striker perspective. You know, basically every week, line yourself up with who you think is going to score. And not only score, but score multiples. Mm. So, you know, if you use your transfer every week and you bring in the hot hand or the hired gun as a forward, you know, Lukaku is sitting firmly on the chopping block. You know, based on his price, you know, 11.8, you know, the striker rankings are so similar between what Harry Kane can't do at home. What Lukaku's been struggling with, the return of Aguero is imminent. What we just saw from Jesus, Morata is now probably in contention to be playing again. Lacazette is still lying in the weeds. You know, the forward ranks are basically, you know, like I'm going to shoot, but I don't know where I'm going to shoot to, and hope that I, you know, hit the bullseye eventually. So that's my take on Lukaku. But for Kane, you know. Given his price, 12.8, he's the most expensive player in the game. So basically, you basically have to rationalize your whole roster based on owning Harry Kane. Basically, I don't think you can own a third striker and have a useful team of pieces behind him. You know, having the big trio up top. I'm worried about Kane at home. I know I mentioned this to you off the air. I think he may be jinxed at home, and then you brought up that he scored against better teams, you know, in, you know, ulterior tournaments. But, you know, like I said, this is a lawn dart throw here, and you're hoping that you catch, you know, you land in the hula hoop with Lukaku and Kane. I mean, you know, they both have decent enough fixtures coming up. Lukaku has Huddersfield, Spurs, Chelsea, not too fantastic. And then Kane, who, you know, didn't score last week, but he scored coming off two consecutive braces. You know, so you got to look at that. But he's got a, you know, equally hard schedule. He's got Liverpool, who not really hard, but, you know, it's always a contention when they play top teams. Then he's faced by the United, the best team in defensively in the league. Then Crystal Palace, which has been showing out over the last few weeks and building, you know, gaining momentum. And then they have Arsenal after that. So, I mean, you know, between the two of them, I don't own either of them right now. Because I transferred Lukaku out this week, but you know it's more like a hired hand, go with your gut kind of feeling. If you feel like Lukaku is going to score, fine. But I think that you're basically coming to the point where you basically have to be fully invested. And I know their prices are going to dictate where you land, but you kind of have to be invested more in City players than any other forward players. Mm. And that doesn't just involve forwards, but all over the board, because in order to get your three involvement from Man City, you basically have to, you know, downplay a forward to get two midfield assets and possibly Jesus and possibly Aguero.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting dilemma, especially between the Kane and Lukaku thing, and then we'll get to the rest of the big guys here in a second. The interesting thing, I think, is game formats.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Lukaku only has two blanks this season. Kane has far more, but Kane has scored far more multiples. So the question is, in a non-weekly format, which is what official FPL is, unless you're in a mini league that does week-to-week head-to-head matchups, I think Lukaku is probably the better play head-to-head because he's going to contribute almost every week. But for a season long, Kane is probably going to score more multiples. I don't know. It's a tough one. While I admit that Kane will be playing a lot of big teams, Liverpool, mm-hmm. not in the top 10 of defense, Arsenal, mm-hmm. not in the top 10 of defense, West Brom and United, the only two that they're going to play that are. But as I said to you off air, with the Wembley curse in like the full football podcast I do, not just the fantasy ones, unfortunately, yeah. This is a narrative that will not go away because they aren't making it go away. It is frustrating that it's harder to trust Harry Kane going into those home matches. Obviously, Liverpool being the key point, I personally am sticking with both Kane and Lukaku this week because I want to wait and see on the fitness mm-hmm. and usage of Sergio Aguero and Morata. Are you buying in on either of them yet? Is that where you move to from Lukaku? Or are you wanting to wait and see what they can do before bringing them back in?
Well, Like you said, Lukaku and Kane are basically, you know, set it and forget it guys. Basically, at the end of the day, they're basically going to be in the top five in scoring. So you have to take the ebbs and flows of the forward and the returns that they give you. Or, like I said, you can just basically play the hot hand and use your transfer every week and bring in someone hot. The thing with Aguero and the thing with Morata is I think Morata is gonna play this weekend. I think that, you know, he didn't get used today in the Champions League, correct? So, I mean, he's got to be building momentum to be back. And, you know, given what Chelsea can do when he's what we've seen that he can do, he's got to be in contention on a lot of teams and a lot of people are buying into it. I mean, given his returns, he's basically he's scored more points than Harry Kane this year, 49 to 47 in less minutes than Harry Kane.
Yeah.
So you have to speculate that, well, Morata's return is probably better than Kane and you get to save $2.6 million. From your salary. So, I mean, I can understand the rationale in sticking with Kane or twisting from Kane and going to someone else. You know, like I said, it's all a matter of feeling. If you have a feeling in this, then you do it. And speaking of feelings, because I this is a good pivot here. I know we're rushing around today, and I tried to formulate some questions for Kevin, but I wanted to bring it up to him because this is a Spurs-related thing. It involves one of the more owned defenders in the Premier, you know, in the official game at 24%. Kev, are you nervous about Ben Davis and his involvement moving forward in the Spurs, you know, FPL game? Not overall, because he's a phenomenal player. I think that he contributes to them in all tournaments here. But with the news that Danny Rose is getting closer, with the appearance of Kieran Trippier and what he's giving you as a return defensively, are you pivoting from Ben Davis from a fantasy perspective here?
Want to hear something really shocking? I never owned Ben Davis. I never was convinced that he really had this job. Now, he obviously put in some huge performances that hurt me at the start of the season. But what has he missed? Two of the last three now? One through illness, one through rotation.
Miss Swansea and Miss Bournemouth, week five and week eight.
Yeah. Okay, all right, so it was two and four. Then he missed the Champions League match. In his stead, Jan Vertonghen has been playing as a left wing back and playing some of the best games I've ever seen from him in a Tottenham shirt.
Yep.
As you say, Danny Rose healing, played the last 20 minutes of the Real Madrid match in admittedly a weird defensive roaming role. He was never actually playing as the wing back because he didn't move Vertonghen off that. He was just kind of like floating around behind the midfield and in front of the back line, but not really as the defensive midfield. It was very strange. But the answer to your question is, I'm not now concerned. I was always concerned about his long-term spot in the side. The benefit for Kieran Trippier is that we seemingly are relying on Serge Aurier in the Champions League, which, because of his physical attributes, is wise. Right, he basically shut down Ronaldo for the 20 minutes he actually played on the left before Ronaldo started roaming around to get away from him, much like shut down corners in the NFL. After a few drives, if your star guy isn't getting off on him, then you're going to move stuff around. You're going to move your good receiver to the slot to at least get him some space. But Serge Aurier keeps making mistakes, and he's now done it in the Premier League and in the Champions League. So that's up in the air. But I do think, of all these players that we're talking about, Kieran Trippier is most likely to get Premier League minutes. I mean, Vertonghen is, obviously, but I think he's going to shift back to center back somewhat soon. But not to take anything away from him, has done very well as a left wing back. But yeah, no, I'm not trusting Ben Davis, and I never really started trusting him this season. And you shouldn't feel bad about dropping him, because like I said, I never had him. So I missed out on a lot of points to get to where we are now of him not being around. Don't feel overly obligated to stay loyal to him. Like, if you got all these points, take your points and go. You know, it was nice while we had it, but, you know, it's not me, it's you. And everybody can move on with their lives. But, you know, just because he's been great in the past doesn't mean he'll keep being great. And just because he may not get the starts anymore doesn't mean he won't be relevant again later this season. But for now, I would be interested in owning Ben Davis.
Yeah, it's bizarre. It's bizarre. You know, Ben Davis, given his ownership, you know, like I said, he's owned in 24%. He's had net transfers down the last 2 weeks. So people are maybe punting off the bandwagon. But interesting enough, Kieran Trippier's ownership is only 6%. So, you know, at a cheaper option at 5.5 compared to 5.9, he's only scoring he only scored 7 points less this year than Davis. You know, I think that it's a direct pivot that makes basically everybody happy here, because you save money, and I think you have the directly involved player moving forward. Because you're in agreement here that I think you think Trippier is probably a better FPL option moving forward.
Yeah, he's definitely starting this weekend, and that's about as good as it gets under Pochettino.
Yeah, so I mean, don't ever trust the guy from chips. You know, don't trust the guy from the chips.
Cool. Kind of sticking with the forward theme, for you. Not sticking with, we just went to defenders. Going back to the forward theme, you and I kept talking about that mid-range forward area between Vardy and Firmino, and they have both decided to stop doing anything at all. Do you prefer one to the other, or would you rather move up and down? And if you'd rather move up and down, which direction would you want to move?
I think this is the perfect time, if you own Firmino or you own Jamie Vardy, to move down. I think that you can pair up your third striker, whether it be I was going to try to figure out how to get this song in, and I'm going to do it now. So everybody home, brace yourself, because it's Tammy Abraham. Had 4 goals in the last 6.
Tammy Abraham.
Abraham. And he didn't dance. All he did was score 4 goals. And all he did was go like this. Tammy Abraham. But given Abraham's performance, 4 goals in his last 6, 5.7 price tag, he's netting you good returns. But I think I even have a better option there, because I think this week, you know, with Abraham's, you know, returns lately and his ownership is spiking. It's almost 10% now, and he's being transferred in a ton this week because of what he just did. I think the good pivot here is, I think you go to a different team, and this is based on my own, you know, guesswork here. But I'm punting completely way down to a guy who's owned in 1.4% of leagues and is cheaper than Tammy Abraham and is basically scoring the same amount of points in the last 4 weeks that Tammy Abraham has. And that's Mame Biram Diouf. I love this guy. I love OOP guys, especially in this official game, because they allow the player to basically wander all over. And sometimes it hurts you because, yes, he's playing more of a midfield role and he's classified as a forward. So you miss out on all those clean sheets that Stoke gets. Yeah, they've only had one. So it doesn't really make a difference. But at 5.4, and basically you punt down from a Vardy or you punt down from a Firmino. Yes, I know Firmino shined out pretty well against in Champions League play. But relax. It was Maribor. Relax. Let's relax here a little bit. They should have won that game 12-0, not just 7. But yeah. This is where you're accumulating your funds and basically bolstering up your midfield. You know, I've seen a lot of people with, you know, who post their teams all over line and they basically have three usable parts in midfield and then two punts. Now is the time to go to four usable parts in midfield and figure out what you want to do in defense, whatever you want to do. It's your own team. You can do what you want. And then going with a two striker, or if based on matchup, you use like a Diouf or you use a Tammy Abraham. basically, the best involvement in the game right now is in the midfield. Basically, if you look at the scoring for the midfielders, it is so top heavy, and all the guys are based like basically in the same price range. Here's the top eight right now. It's Eriksen, Silva, Sterling, Sané, Salah, De Bruyne, Mkhitaryan. And then basically right after that is when you get into the cheap guys is Richarlison, Gross, and Doucouré.
Yeah.
So basically the one thing that they all have in common, everybody I just listed in the top eight that's above Richarlison, they are all above 8.1 in price.
Yeah.
So basically, for you to be involved in, you know, to be involved in the city attack, you're gonna have to invest anywhere between, you know, $16 to $20 million if you want to own De Bruyne, or if you want to own Liverpool guys, or when Mane comes back, you can do that too, pivot there. But we're talking about here and now. The top eight scoring midfielders right now are all above 8.0. So basically, you're gonna have to invest to play, and that money's only gonna come from the forward spot. Yeah, basically, that all money is only going to come from the forward spot because that's where most of your big investment is. Right. You know, if you look at the forward ranks, we'll go to the forward ranks here. You know, here's the scoring, and it's the same way with the forwards. Aguero, Lukaku, Morata, Jesus, Kane is the top five in scoring. What's the common factor there? They're all 10 plus.
Yeah.
So I mean, you basically have to pay to play. But this is where the differentials in this league are made up. Is when you can hit on a guy who's less owned than everybody else before everybody else starts owning him. Yes, Tammy Abraham just scored, you know, and everybody's on his bandwagon now because of his price, and they're pivoting down to him and investing their money for it. But guess what? It already just happened. You can't go back and get those two goals back. So look ahead to fixtures and, you know, monopolize on that. So basically, if you're owning Vardy or Firmino, I'm completely telling you to punt down. I'm waiting one more week. Currently, I own Vardy. I think I'm going to wait one more week. And then figure out what's what.
Yeah. Worth noting on Diouf, we mentioned this off air, that a lot of people are gun shy on Mama Birim Diouf because he was supposed to be good 2 years ago, then randomly got pushed back into midfield, and last season even played as a wing back at times. Worth noting, mm-hmm. though, that this season, in 58% of matches, he's played as a forward. So that return to playing up front, as you were saying, obviously, more likely to score goals. One of them was an own goal off Kyle Walker last week. But a very interesting shout from you. And as we've said before, it's really easy to chase the guy that just had the points. It's much harder, yeah. but also more fruitful to find the next guy that will. In that regard, always worth noting, sometimes it's better to listen to what we say than what we do. Because, Rob, I'm sure you remember the last two shows we did last week, the Fantrax and the VIP, I started switching from Silva to Sterling. I was just like, yep. that's the direction everything's going. Didn't do it myself. Yep. Sterling has a huge match. Silva gets just one goal. Sterling, what was it, 2-1 or 1-2? Regardless.
Took
part in three goals. Just like me, I assume that you that's listening to this probably have a good feeling like that. Somebody's calling out to you. And sometimes it's better to just do it. I tend to always be a week late.
Yeah.
Because I always want more information. But that doesn't mean that you should. If there's a guy you like, if it's for a -4, go for it. I don't mess with -8s. But anyway, quickly.
Here's another thing, Kev. I just want to throw this out there. You know, like I just said, basically pivoting and saving money, investing in midfield. Mm-hmm. But how about investing in a goalie here? How about jumping up and getting a David De Gea at his current price?
Yeah, I mean, all the mid-tier guys have really been struggling. Forster and Fabianski and Butland and Elliott.
like I'm starting to get on the bandwagon that there's not that much ownership from United that you can invest in through the midfield. I think Mkhitaryan, the bandwagon is off of him. Yeah. You know, basically you can own defenders, you know, Jones, Valencia.
Jones was rested today, by the way, for those playing at home. Mm-hmm.
That's perfect. But look at what De Gea is doing. He's got 51 points currently as the top scoring goalie. You know where he'd rank compared to other positions based on his price?
He'd be the third forward.
Yeah, he'd be the third highest scoring forward, the second highest scoring defender, and the second highest midfielder.
Yeah.
Wow. And basically, based on his points per million on return, he has the highest points returned per million based on price in the official game right now.
Wow. I gotta assume Richarlison is like second or third.
Yeah, I don't have those numbers. I just know I know he's the first, but yeah, like he's almost returning 9 points per million. That's of crazy. what he is.
Yeah, I think it's a really good
point. If you're sitting here with, you know, mediocre goalies, you know, Fabianski, Elliott, and you're saving a couple dollars, or you have a million and a half sitting in the bank, like some people do, they like to, you know, give themselves a cushion. Like, go invest in David De Gea. If you don't have three United players, go do yourself a favor and get the best goalie. They've let up two goals this entire year, and they were both to the same guy. You know, they were both to Choupo-Moting. How about that for weirdness? That the only two goals that United have let up are to Maxim Choupo-Moting.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, that's crazy. Worth noting, though, United do have Spurs and Chelsea coming up. But I agree with you in principle that, you know, this for years we've been able to get away with 4.5 and 5.0 goalkeepers, and it's been such a crapshoot this season. Especially with you've had some players with good matchups not picking up their points, then in bad matchups they're on your bench, and then they pick up points. It's been a really tough year for those that try to do pairings and matchups like that.
And it's not like he's like bizarrely over, like it's not like he's $12 million. He's 5.6. You know, that's basically your second defender.
Yeah, for your
basically
fourth,
what he is.
Or fifth midfielder, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, your fourth or fifth midfielder.
All right, quick game of either or. You already said Diouf over Abraham, you save 0.3 there. What about two interesting guys just below the Vardy-Firmino line, Chicharito versus Rashford?
Oof, I'd stick with Rashford. What I've seen from Chicharito is not encouraging. I think he'll get a goal and he'll probably end up with a dozen for the year, but he's probably going to get you one, miss 4 weeks, you know, don't not score for 4 weeks, then get you another, then maybe get another right away and then go blank for 5 weeks. Chicharito is like, he's a good streaming option based on matchup, but I wouldn't own him all year. Whereas Rashford is, you know, the way that United does score and the way that he does involve himself in it, he could luck into more goals than Chicharito will actually score goals. Mm.
Yeah, Chicharito just not getting the service he needs. And then I have a twofer. Would you rather have Gabriel Jesus and Christian Eriksen or Sterling and Kane?
Oof. I'd probably take Sterling and Kane. I don't know what, you know, Pep's going to do when Aguero is fit again. Yes, they did play. They've played over, I think it's 270 plus minutes together on the pitch at the same time this year, Jesus and Aguero. It's a low number. It's a lower number than you think, because either one's been out and the other one's been hurt. But it's always troublesome and it's always scary. Yes, you want one of them, but you can't roster both. So that's why I'm going to completely, you know, flip the script and go to Kane and Sterling. I think Sterling is basically knocked on. Everybody always thinks, oh, Raheem never plays. Go look at his minutes played. He hasn't missed a game in like, what is it, 6 weeks now, five weeks?
And they also took him off 70th minute yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, he's going to play again this weekend. So, I mean, if you need a midfielder who's going to probably score, you know, they're playing Burnley. Raheem Sterling is probably the guy.
Yeah. All right. That's it for either ors. Do you have any quick price changes for us before we get into start sets?
Price ups. It's kind of slow because it's a Champions League week, but there's been a few ups. Phil Jones has gone up, which is good. We mentioned that he did sit today, so he's probably pretty much back in you know, health and going to be playing this weekend. Bakayoko scored a goal last week for Chelsea, has gone up. I believe I called that pretty well. Then four City players, Sterling, Silva, Jesus has gone up. And bizarrely enough, I think people, because he did score a goal and people are just desperate to get into that, you know, that City involvement, Fernandinho has gone up. And then the last one is that has gone up. Tammy Abraham, 4 goals in his last 6 games. He's basically the new, you know, 5-whatever darling striker that people are, you know, shifting money from. On the downs, I'll just highlight the big names. Leighton Baines has gone down. Trent Alexander-Arnold has gone down. Danilo, what's going on, man? You can't even get, you get beat by Fabian Delph.
And I know. But that's I lost that bet to you.
That's fine, really, because I'm going to be thirsty by the time the bet comes through. Daily
also
Blin
worth
has
noting, one of the reasons Trent Alexander-Arnold is going down is it seems Joe Gomez has won that Premier League spot.
Yeah, he's the guy in FPL. Brother Twins, they probably, you know, Alexander-Arnold did play yesterday for Liverpool.
Yeah,
so,
and scored.
But yep. So everybody scored for Liverpool. So. Daily Blind has gone down. He hasn't played in 4 games, whether it be injury or attrition. Mahrez scored a goal and goes down. Mane has gone down to 9.3. That's good for everybody. Let it keep going down. Mkhitaryan, 1 goal in his last six matches, and that's it. No assists, no other stuff, no other point returns.
The creativity stats are way down right now for him.
Yep. Alvaro Morata has gone down. That's good for everybody as well. He just came back. I did misspeak before. He did play in today's Champions League game. I didn't look at the roster before I came onto this podcast. We're recording basically right as the game is on.
Yeah.
So he is in squad. Gabagoo scores 2 goals and goes down. You know, it's like a bad trait here. We go you score a goal and you go down in price, but that's the way it is. And then basically everybody's pivoting off the cheap third striker, Josh King and Sam Vokes. Was nice knowing you. Sam Vokes doesn't even play anymore. Chris Wood scored last week and is the guy looking like to carry the front in for Burnley. But that's the price ups and price downs, Kev.
Cool. All right, we'll take a quick break and then come back and do start sits.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, and we are back talking a little bit of start sits. For me up front, the guy I'm starting, despite all the hate, is Romelu Lukaku. Only 2 blanks this season. I think people need to calm down a lot. People should, be fine with just rolling out Lukaku every week. As you said, he and Kane are both going to end up in the top 5. He's cheaper than Kane right now. I trust this United attack, although Mkhitaryan is struggling. Mata can carry that creative burden. And Martial, you know, got a shot last week. So they may be just fine there. But I'm not ready to turn off Lukaku just yet. In midfield, you mentioned him as one of the midfielders with the most points. That's a cheapo guy. Pascal Gross, who I was on early in the season, then was off pretty quickly. And honestly thought was going to disappear from relevance as soon as Hamed was gone, because I didn't know who was going to score the goals. It turns out it kind of doesn't matter. He's top 5 in chances created, accurate crosses, and assists thus far this season, which is nuts. He's going to face 3 bottom 10 defenses in the next 5 matches. So Pascal Gross, you know, we said don't chase past results. If they're also looking like future results, you know, feel free. Great cheap option. I personally am likely going to swap from Brady to Gross this week. In defense, makes the odd mistake still ever since his Tottenham days, but I want to talk to you a little bit about Kyle Walker. 3 assists and 4 clean sheets in his last 5. The next 2 are against bottom 10 attacks. We talked about all these issues with Tottenham. There are injuries at Manchester City with Mendy being out, which requires anybody that would compete for Walker's job to play on the other side. Is Walker one of the best defenders that you could own right now?
I mean, he's definitely in the discussion. Now that Ben Davis is kind of wonky, he's basically in the category with a United defender, Phil Jones, Valencia. I'd put him in the same kind of category based, but he's probably going to give you better assist returns. How about he's probably comparable to Steven Ward, basically in that kind of grouping. But there, you can't compare price,
right?
But I'm just saying, based on FPL returns, he's probably on Steven Ward, that kind of category. And it's funny, they play each other this week, so it's not going to be good.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. But yeah, I'm very high on Kyle Walker right now. Rob, who you got?
It's basically nothing new. I'll start in the back. You need a United defender this week. Go get one. Phil Jones, Antony Valencia. They're owned in 7.3% and 6.7% of leagues.
Wait, that's respective. It feels like everybody owns Phil Jones. That's nuts.
7.3 for Phil Jones, 6.7 for Antony Valencia. It's crazy.
That's nuts.
Oh, no. That's right. It's actually 5.7 for Antony Valencia. It's even worse than 6.7. And 6.7 is his price. In midfield, what we saw last week from the Crystal Palace returnee, I think it's for real. I think that Wilfried Zaha is what we thought he was going to be.
He's so good. And he's playing as their striker till Benteke gets back.
I love it. I love it. I love OOP guys. And I actually have his name with just a heart next to it in my notes. That's all I have. And I'm just basically going to ramble on for another 24 seconds about Wilfried Zaha and how usable and effective he is. Like, he did it against one of the league's better defenses last week. And they're better. Aspilicueta is a great, great man marking defender. And he shifted sides and he was picking on Cahill. It's debatable that Aspilicueta is.
Oh, you said Aspilicueta. I thought you said Alonso. Yeah, no, Aspilicueta, incredible on ball.
Yeah. But Zaha is for real. His 6.8 price tag, 6.7, right where you need to be in the midfield. He slots in right next to David Silva, Raheem Sterling, and Eriksen in the midfield. And there's your starting 4 for next week. You're welcome. See, this is the kind of fantasy knowledge that we drop on you. In the forwards, I've talked about him already. Why everybody's going Abraham, you go Diouf. Simple. If you wanted a striker that's going to do something this week that's not going to be owned anywhere, Diouf is going to score probably again, maybe even get an assist. I know Stoke doesn't do many, but legitimately, how many does Swansea score that Abraham hasn't scored?
Yeah, Swansea lowest chances created in the Premier League this season.
Yeah, I mean, I know Stoke is probably only 2 steps ahead of them, but I think Stoke are more of a scoring team than what we've seen from Swansea. Because basically, if Abraham doesn't score for Swansea, who else scores? Nobody.
Stoke have literally more than double the chances created than Swansea, 68-32.
See, it's like I know what I'm talking about. Onto my sits. He scored last week for Burnley. He's going to ride the pine this week. Crickwood, I know he had a little bit of a bring-in last week. After and before the goal, people were kind of riding high on him. They figured he was going to score. Going up against Man City, who still is a top 3 defense, correct? Yes, they still are.
Oh, yeah.
Chris Wood's a dump. He's not going to be sitting anywhere near the goal or scoring a goal. He's probably going to be playing defense. If Burnley had their druthers, he'd be playing defense. In midfield, I'm actually going to go the opposite way because we basically do this at a 1 week thing. I think Pascal Gross is not ownable this week against West Ham.
Really?
I think West Ham at home are better defensively than people give them
credit
for.
Man, you are just buying into this West Ham defense, and I am just not. They are literally the 3rd worst defense in the league.
I know, but I'm just saying that Brighton is not the Brighton is the 3rd worst offensive team. There you go. So they cancel each other out. So then it goes to how many TL days and Schwaz they have in their starting lineup, and West Ham wins.
Brighton are 14th in attack, not 17th.
Oh, but out of 14th out of what?
20.
I'm kidding. I don't like it. After this week, sure, he does play 3 of the bottom, 8-10 goal defenses, you said?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, he's not a complete dump. You're not going to dump him because, given his price and his return at 5.7, you're not going to throw him by the wayside because he's giving you decent enough returns. And if you're lucky enough to have him as your 5th or 4th midfielder, That's perfectly fine by me. On defense, we talked about him before, but I'm completely punting Ben Davis this week. I know Spurs has a matchup against Liverpool. Liverpool's probably going to score. I'm going to say that they're going to score. They may not score many, but all you need is one to ruin your, you know, ruin your Sunday. That's it. That's it for me.
Fair enough. That awkward pause brought to you by me not editing this show. for me, for my sits, up front is going to be Jamie Vardy. Two consecutive blanks, no shots on target in either match, which is horrible. It's just not happening right now. And Vardy's stats are always a little wonky because Leicester don't do sustained attacks. They tend to just counter at pace, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. The managerial change, another just factor thrown up in the air. I just think it's very hard to trust Vardy this week. You can sell him if you want. I think he's technically going to be on my team one more week, but I'm not excited about him anymore. Did Robbie Brady out for Pascal Gross. Brady, four blanks in the last five. He's averaging just one chance created per game over that stretch. So no longer the dominant force he was at the start of the season. Not really sure what happened. I mean, Burnley were always a more defensive team, but it seemed like Brady was going to be the creative outlet, much like Gross has been at Brighton. But it just has not sustained, and I'm not really sure why, but it's time to hop off that. Defenses I don't like. Arsenal, they had, what, four consecutive clean sheets before the last match, but are still a bottom 10 defense. Deeney's comments in real life threw me off them from a fantasy sense, saying that he likes to muscle up against defenders to see who's like really up for it. And none of the Arsenal defenders, he said, were. Kolasinac, the only one I think is even mildly ownable. And also, previous fantasy darling, Zonka, aka Matthias Jorgensen, just not really doing the business for you of late. Just one clean sheet in the last five matches, and that was against a Burnley team that didn't even bother to attack in that match. You look forward, they have Manchester United, Liverpool, and Manchester City in their next five. Not exactly what you want to see. After that, actually, listen to this. So this is through about Christmas, right? United, Liverpool, West Brom, Bournemouth, City, Arsenal, Everton, Brighton, Chelsea. That's not like a fun time.
It's like 3 out of 10 matches.
Yeah, it's not good. So feel free to ditch him. Much like Davis, he got you points early. Be happy with them. Move on. So that's my sits. As for my moves, I've already mentioned both of them. Brought in Sterling for Mkhitaryan and Gross for Robbie Brady. You make any moves yet?
I haven't. I speculated, like I spoke before, I'm probably going to change around some things. I have Mkhitaryan in my team. I'll probably go to either Sterling or... I may speculatively add a Liverpool midfielder. I don't know why, only because I'm just thinking after this, these next, you know, the last two games were their toughest fixtures. You know, after this, they have Spurs, they have Huddersfield, and of course it's not loading. They have Huddersfield, West Ham, Southampton, the next three after Spurs. And then they have Chelsea, and then a bunch of nothing after that. So if you're looking to get involved in a Liverpool attack, you know, the attack, two out of their next eight are bad, and Liverpool's basically can score against anybody, and they can get scored on by anybody. So, except for Maribor, so I may look at like a Coutinho or you know a Salah, but I don't know what I'm going to do up front. You know, I have Vardy, Jesus, and Lukaku still. I was hoping to maybe see if Morata did anything good today, but it looks like he's going to play full mills. Chelsea's getting put to the limits by Roma today, so. I'll probably wait another week on bringing Morata in and then wait one more week on Vardy and punt down and then re-energize my team with some money.
Yeah. For captains this week, I'm sticking with Lukaku and putting my money where my face is, playing him against Huddersfield, who I told people to take out. Was considering Kane against Liverpool. I forgot to look this up, but it just seems like he has a good record against him. Would have loved to trust Vardy against Swansea, but Swansea have been all right defensively. It's just hard to trust him. Not enough to put the captain's band on him. That's for dang sure. So yeah, rolling with Lukaku this week.
Yeah, if I do keep Lukaku, Lukaku's good. If you own a Man City player, by all means, do it. Silva's a good call if you want to go differential, because I think Jesus or Aguero are going to be captained a ton if they get positive news on Aguero being fit. But basically any guy with a blue jersey on, not Newcastle because they have the same jerseys, but anybody from Man City that's putting on their jersey this week is somebody you could probably tout. Yeah, so go that direction. Go do that. Do that.
Yeah, City's second kit, pretty similar to Manchester City's primary. All right, we said it would be a little bit shorter, and look, it is. Rob, tell the folks where they can get at you.
You can find me on Twitter, FPL_MNOP, or you can find my musings and stylings on Razzball.com.
Yeah, and I'm your other host, Kevin DeVries, at Kevroff on Twitter. You can find my writings over at Goal.com under the gaming tab. We also do shows for VIPBet.com and Fantrax, so be sure to check both of them out. Thank you so much for listening. Sorry for the shortness of this episode. We'll make it up to you sometime, probably. Best of luck to your teams, and we'll catch you next time.
Peace.